you're listening to The Morning Show, and we're here this morning with Steve Garvin and Amy Flint, both of them board members at the Panada Theater. Amy is board chair, and Steve, you are the vice chair, if I'm not mistaken.
The chair of vice.
Okay. Yeah. Well, good. Okay, good morning to you, Amy.
Good morning, Jack.
And good morning to you, Steve.
Hi, good to be here.
And it's been, we got to talk about the Panada. It's been a very eventful, when hasn't it been eventful at the Panada? I was trying to come up with a time period to say it's been an eventful month. It's been an eventful summer. It's been an eventful year. It's been
decade and a half.
About that, yeah. But the Panada Theater is a... Let's introduce the Panada Theater. It's a nonprofit organization as well as the building itself, and governed by a board of directors, volunteer directors, I believe. And both of you are, you're two of the five members of the board.
Six
members of the board. Okay. The Panada has been a nonprofit since 1985. Okay. this is a quiz.
Let's finish the sentences.
The building, of course, is much older than that, and was run. Or it was founded in 1927. Run as a movie house for many years. Had several changes of ownership as a for-profit theater. Kind of fell into disrepair and disuse, and before it was demolished, it was saved by community activists.
The mothers.
The Panada Moms.
The Panada Moms.
The three Panada Moms.
In the 1980s, who rallied the community to save the Panada Theater and turn it into a nonprofit.
And let's say their names. Susan Bates Harbuck, Laurel Wagers, and I think Linda Evans.
Yes, that is correct.
Cool.
And Susan Bates Harbuck is still with us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she is. Well, the other two are as well. Mm-hmm. They're the spirits of
right,
the Panada.
Exactly.
Yeah. Susan Bates Harbuck, I believe, she's a volunteer for KRFY as well. She helped us pick up trash on the side of the road and on our adopt-a-highway mission
she's
this month.
A founding member of the Friends of the Panada organization as
okay.
well.
The theater has it's complicated, I guess, to run a theater and to run it as a nonprofit, to maintain a building of that age, as well as trying to, I mean, you're not just in the business of maintaining it for historical preservation. You're trying to use it as well. I mean, you're trying to put local productions on stage. You're trying to show movies there that are of interest to the community, and it kind of all has to be done at once. That takes financing, that takes volunteer energy, it takes guidance from the board, and it's been a difficult thing, it seems, to run the Panada. I think since the 80s, you've had probably, I'm going to guess, seven executive directors, but four of those have been in the last 5 years, I believe. No.
Actually, five. Since Patricia left.
Okay. And right now the Panada is without an executive director. And I guess there's where we can start asking the first question. What's going on in the administration of the Panada Theater? How is that going to be structured going forward? Are you going to be looking for a new executive director, or are you waiting before beginning that kind of a search? Amy.
Well, the board has had numerous discussions about this, and rather than immediately jumping in to a search process for a new executive director, we paused, and our understanding is that one of the reasons for this turnover is because the organizational structure, having an executive director at the top, just simply does not work.
Mm-hmm.
There is too much that falls in the lap of the executive director, and it's just really an unmanageable position.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at, we haven't come to any, definitive solutions, but we're looking at probably a different model where we would not have a single executive director at the top, but we would have two or three directors of whatever. And I think that would really, really make things more manageable than just having one person at the helm who's trying to manage everything.
Yeah.
So. For clarification also, this board only got reconstituted last week. So we're just starting to meet, work together, and map solutions out for the board, for staff, and for programming. Literally, as I said, this board just got reconstituted.
And it doesn't feel appropriate to rush into anything. We want to make sure we get it right this time.
Yeah. Who is, we've got three new faces on the board. Is that right, Steve? You're one of them.
Well, Chris Bessler, Terry Pardini, and myself all rejoined. We all had extensive involvement with the Panada. I was a former secretary, board vice chair, and board chair. Chris, I believe, had been board chair a long time ago. Terry had been long active, both in on the board and active and a volunteer as well. And so we rejoined the board. Amy became the new board chair. Sean Bem is still on the board, but he relinquished his board chair position. Dan Thompson and...
And just for the record, Terry Pardini has taken over as treasurer.
Okay.
And Chris has taken over as secretary. That was my former role was secretary. Okay. But I can't do the chair and the secretary both.
Yeah.
Not right now with no ED.
Well, and and Chris Bessler, listeners to this radio station know that that's a familiar name. Chris Bessler is also on the board of directors of KRFY and a voice on the air. He was just on the air yesterday, and he will be tomorrow morning as well. So the board has reconstituted, and you've had one meeting. Does the board meet just once a month, or do you have meetings as well throughout the month?
We sometimes have special meetings. Mm-hmm. We've had to have actually multiple special meetings over the last several weeks with executive sessions included. Mm-hmm. And then the executive committee, which consists of all the officers
of the board.
So sometimes that committee meets separately to discuss certain critical matters, and then the whole board will be drawn into any possible motions or resolutions. Mm-hmm. So we've been meeting a lot, with good reason. As a matter of fact, the executive committee is going to be meeting at 11:30 this morning on Zoom.
And then looking not at the board, but at the staff, how many staff members are there?
Well, that's shifting a little bit too. Mm-hmm. We have three core staff members who are really giving their all to support yet another transition. We have a couple of very part-time people, and so we're going to be obviously needing to look at staffing as well. But right now we've got three core people who are really holding down the fort, you might say.
Yeah.
Well, we are re-examining those roles and responsibilities of each of the staff members. Mm-hmm. Panada historically had very few staff members. Now it has a bunch more, but most are part-time. Mm-hmm. But again, going forward, we're re-examining those roles and responsibilities.
Yeah. How many volunteers, approximately, would you say the Panada has?
I think we have about 25. Unfortunately, We did lose, and in some cases this was temporarily, some of the volunteers because of some new policies that were put in place by the previous ED. The volunteers did not appreciate some of these policies, and many of them are coming back into the fold now, and we do have a couple of. We have a couple of people who are actually paid to work shows.
Okay.
So that kind of stabilizes things a bit.
Right.
I think Amy touched on something that's really important, though, here in this reconstituting. We need to rebuild the board. Mm-hmm. We need to look at and define or redefine the staff positions and roles, but also we very much are committed wholeheartedly to reaching back to the community, to organizations that there have been some struggles with recently, to individuals, whether they're volunteers or patrons. And we are fully committed to that, and that includes KRFY, POAC, the Conservancy, local production companies, and also we hope some more music presenters as well.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to Steve Garvin and Amy Flint of the Panada Theater, both of them board on the board of directors. And Steve, you're back on the board. Amy, you have been on the board for a little while. You're in a new position as chair. Steve, what brought you back?
I served for 6 years until mm-hmm. term limits were instituted in 2012. Mm-hmm. And I've been on a number of other boards locally and nationally, and the arts and music primarily. And I've always kept up with the Panada. A small group of us formed a new organization about 5 years ago called Friends of the Panada.
Mm-hmm.
That was three former Panada board directors.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been involved in that still. I ran the Crazy Days sale for 15 years, starting with Jim here the first year or two I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had a deep and abiding passion for the Panada, both personally and professionally. It's a treasure and a gem of our community. And so when board members a month or so ago reached out to Chris and Terry and I to have several meetings and talk about the status of the Panada and what was in need of shaking up a little bit, I guess you'd say, the topic came up. And each of the three of us, Chris, Terry, and I, felt that we would be willing to step up at least till October, possibly longer.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the next annual elections are slated for. But the point is, the Panada needed our help. We were willing to give it. We had deep prior experience with the Panada, and it's to all of our benefits.
And we feel very blessed that they have rejoined the board.
Yeah.
I like the word reconstituted. It sounds mm-hmm. like they were freeze-dried over the years, and water was added or something. I'd like to ask...
Lake water.
Yeah, lake water. There you go. Amy or Steve, what are some of the major challenges facing the Panada in the weeks, months, years ahead?
Well, one of the ongoing challenges is financial. It's a really delicate balance to offer discounted rates to local theater groups and dance groups because the Panada does not typically generate a lot of income from those kinds of groups. And so you may have noticed that you're seeing far more Panada Presents programming, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. are more likely to be sellout shows. And of course, we rely on income from the bar and concessions because that is quite a boost for our income. So it's this delicate balance. And of course, with an almost 100-year-old building, there's always maintenance and or repair issues that need to be addressed. So there's a lot of plates to keep spinning. And so, you know, that's one of the challenges right now. How can we be financially solvent and still support the local community and local performances in the way we're dedicated to doing?
And you've hit on a key thing, because this is a nonprofit, 501c3. The nature of that means our revenues come in from both earned and unearned income. And that's really different from a for-profit business. Mm-hmm. Yes, you need the business structure and protocols and systems, but when you've got earned income and unearned income, grants, donations, things like that, it's a whole different balance. And so we need to strengthen relationships with some granting organizations, find some additional ones, as well as local fundraising and commitments even to people just going to shows, whether they're movies, music, other events, whatever. And I think, as Amy pointed out, that's a core issue that needs to be looked at and actually worked on some more, again, because It's a nonprofit. It's not a for-profit entity.
And the truth is, it's very difficult to find grants that provide support for operations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a pretty key area that we need support for.
Yeah.
And so, you know, whenever we track down an operational grant, we apply for it.
Yeah. Well, we've found that certainly to be true here at this nonprofit radio station. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Operations are not often. Yeah.
I mentioned one other thing. Mm-hmm. The Panada will be 100 years old in November of 2027.
Mm-hmm.
The whole year is shaping up to be one of both celebrating and honoring that. Also, Preservation Idaho, which I'm on the board of statewide, is committed to holding our annual Orchids and Onions Preservation Awards event in Sandpoint next summer to honor the Panada's 100th.
Mm-hmm.
But along with all that comes maintenance, preservation, restoration. We're working on some of those things, and there have been some projects that didn't get started, some other ones that did and got done.
Mm-hmm.
But finding that funding is always a challenge as well. And that's why you need dynamic both staff leadership and staff and board interaction.
Yeah. That reminds me, speaking of to get specific, in this, the latest article in the Reader, I think it came up at the board meeting, that the electrical issue. Can you what is the electrical issue and what's the status there?
Okay, let me provide a little bit of historical context for this. I'm sure,
sure.
The rumors have been flying. Back in November of 2023, in anticipation of hopefully connecting the main theater with the little theater and all that would entail, We had major inspections,
mm-hmm.
and reports done on all the systems within the buildings so that we had an idea of what's going to be needed, what are we going to need to take care of in order to pull this off, connecting the two buildings. And so there were some issues. None of them were life safety per se issues, but there were some issues identified in that document. But because it was a planning document, apparently whoever was the ED at that time didn't pay a whole lot of attention to any of the issues that had been identified, which feels like a pretty substantial oversight. When the former ED gained access to this document and read it, it was a monumental document because it covered all the systems,
mm-hmm.
in both buildings. She came across some language in there and some identified concerns that she perceived to be, these are life safety concerns. These need to be handled.
Mm-hmm.
So at the June 4th board meeting, she references that. We went way off the agenda,
mm-hmm.
but she referenced that instead of providing the executive director report, she read some things from this report and expressed concerns about it. And unfortunately, the board was a little ambushed because we didn't know that this was going to happen. It wasn't on the agenda. It wasn't anticipated. Anyway, we finished the rest of the regular meeting, and we immediately went into executive session,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the meeting to review this and to discuss this. And we decided that it was going to be necessary to close the theater and have some inspections done and have some corrections made of anything that was of immediate concern.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we did. Unfortunately, that meant not only a loss of income because there were two productions that ended up having to be moved elsewhere, so we had that loss of income, but in addition to that, we also ended up having to pay another venue to rent it so that this one performance could still happen. The inspections revealed, and this includes, there's been multiple inspections and a lot of work done. We have the state of Idaho actually inspected the building, and there were issues identified. None of them were life safety issues, which mm-hmm. is how it had been conveyed previously. Those issues were all addressed and taken care of. And there, the board and I hope the community should really not have any concerns about electrical safety. We also had an infrared study done. I mean, we really covered all the bases to try to make sure that this both buildings, especially the main theater, because it sees quite a bit more use and it's quite a bit older than mm-hmm. the little theater. We felt that we needed to do our due diligence and make sure that these concerns had been addressed, and we are confident that safety is strong.
Yeah.
So people attending the fly fishing festival tonight would have no concerns or shouldn't have any concerns.
Absolutely
about the
not.
Safety of the buildings.
Absolutely
I'd like to
not.
I'd like to go back and you talked about revenue generating with one of the things about the challenges is that with local organizations, this oftentimes is their only fundraiser of the year. And so there's a challenge between the organization and the Panada. And then you mentioned grants. You didn't mention donors, and I'd like to a little. I used to be on Yellowstone Public Radio years ago, and we knew that our signal got to Ted Turner's ranch in Bozeman. And I used to go on the air and I'd say, Ted, just one little flick of your pen on a check could get us off the air and we could go back to regular programming. And, you know, I think that there's got to be some folks in the area, and now that you can stream us everywhere, who could very generously help the Panada with a donation. And, you know, and I'm one of these people, you know, I pay attention to the news and I see all the millions of dollars spent here and there and all of the billionaires. All they'd have to do is just sneeze towards the Panada and float some of that cash. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think donors and people who are willing to invest in the community and in the arts that are so important. So I'd like to put a pitch in for generous donors, and I know you're out there. And after you think about the Panada, think about KRFY.
That's right. Yeah. we'd like to be that second thought. Yeah. Once you're
Jim, that's donation. Fantastic. And mm-hmm. we have already started having initial conversations about retooling fundraising, development, also planned giving. So you're spot on because it's necessary for the Panada to exist and to possibly thrive. Also on a programming front to help bring in some of those earned income, I think a healthy mix of drama, music, movies, community events, all kind of things like that. That's the healthiest mix for the Panada ongoing. Back in Karen's day, it was mainly movies and not so much else. But that worked out really well. Times have changed, and the Panada has had to change along with that. So I think reaching out to donors or having donors, if they hear these pleas, reach out to the Panada. Mm-hmm. It's almost a 100-year-old cultural treasure and institution here in Sandpoint, and that would be incredibly helpful.
Would it be fair to say that the challenges of maintaining a 100-year-old building, and Lord knows there's many, that the revenue generated just from programming is not enough to cover the needs of the building along with paying staff and, you know, that finances need to come in from elsewhere.
Let's be blunt. It's nowhere near enough. It will never be near enough on its own.
So it'll open up, you know. Unclutch your pearls and rattle your purse or wallet or whatever, and because the Panada, historically as well as presently, is very important to the health of this community.
We typically do an annual holiday season, you know, say November-ish mailing. Last year we went to the assessor's office and got a list of a bunch of new residents in the area because we realize we need to branch out. This list, these people are all great. They donate every year, but we need to expand that because we have so many new residents coming into the area. Mm-hmm. And if they haven't been to a Panada event, they may not have any understanding of how essential this theater is to the community. And I think what we're going to need to do this year is we're going to have to do a Christmas in July letter.
Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have Amy and Steve from the Panada. We're going to take a music break and then focus on Amy because she has to depart early. On this date, July 9th in 1955, I think I'm probably the only one in the room who remembers that date. And Bill Haley had a number one song, the first rock and roll song to chart on Billboard. And here it is.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, hon.
It's 88.5 KRFY. You're listening to Panhandle Community Radio. On the morning show today, Jack and Jim. I'm Jack. That's Jim. And
that's me.
And we're here with Amy Flint and Steve Garvin, board members of the Panada Theater Incorporated. Is that the official organization?
Panhandle Theater Committee, Inc.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, there you are. talking about the Panada Theater, Steve, you've committed to be a board member until October. What do you hope to accomplish between now and October, would you say? Have we already addressed that?
We have, but simply put, mm-hmm. Rebuild the board, mm-hmm. Look at and reconstitute staff roles and responsibilities, get a clear picture and start going after some additional funding sources. And that would be a lot if we can accomplish that by October, November.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Six of us. That's the thing, too. The board, when I was on before, and Jim had been on previously as well, was 9 to 11 people. And that's another thing. I'm going to make a plea there. Mm-hmm. We're not quite ready to do that, but we'd like people to think about if they have appropriate skills, background, and experience, we need to get back up to preferably at least 9, maybe even 11. But the point is, right now we have 6. 5 is the minimum. And so we need to do that because there's committee work, there's board work, there's fundraising and development projects, and we'd like to actually end up hiring at some point an appropriate development person as well, be part-time, full-time. We're not quite sure, depending on what we can do. But all these things need to be reworked and reconstituted.
We had a staff member a year ago that was responsible for fundraising. That was the staff person's role. Unfortunately, they discontinued their employment. And so the board has been trying to continue with that. Right now it's very difficult, and the ED mm-hmm. as well. But it's really critical to have a staff person who's responsible for development because it is a key role.
Yeah.
For a nonprofit theater.
Yeah.
Ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Quite. Indeed it is. And when we say development, I mean, you're talking about fundraising, basically.
We're talking
money.
About fundraising mm-hmm. in all forms.
Yeah.
Annually, mm-hmm. ongoing, planned giving, leaving it in your will or estate,
right. mm-hmm. grants,
donations. Mm-hmm. For, you know, through larger foundations, through local or regional ones. And there's even an organization called LHAT that the Panada is a member of, League of Historic American Theaters.
Mm.
And, you know, some national things. We've applied for several national parks grants in the past as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all those things, and they have to be working in sync and being minded, tended to all the time.
Interesting. You kind of mentioned that mix earlier of the different kind of programming that you want. Things have changed a great deal in kind of the theater business, I think. The Panada hasn't run hasn't shown first run movies in quite a while, as far as I'm aware. Right? I mean, like, you haven't had a new, you know, a new picture on the screen on opening weekend since I don't know.
No, I think there's been some reluctance to compete with the local movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
But like The Sheep Detectives, a recent smash, mm-hmm. that would have been a great one for the Panda.
Yeah. Is that?
I'm just thinking of back uh-huh. when I was on the board. We brought in Barbie, we brought in Oppenheimer, but that was after the initial release and the buzz and people wanting to see, like, Barbie a second time or telling friends, hey, if you haven't seen it. You know, I think a perfect movie would be Project Hail Mary. Once that's the hubbub, initial hubbub over that, bring it to the Panada. But as a mm-hmm. first run, I think Amy is spot on. You know, the mall cinema is trying to make a go of it, and mm-hmm. there's no reason to compete both ways. Also, you know, there's a lot of foreign independent films. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just a lot that is possible, but it's not a huge generation of revenue. And I'd have to say films, probably. Now, if the Panada could get an underwriter for each film, that would help cut the cost. I think there's all sorts of possibilities. But I've heard good things about Sheep Detectives as well.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. that's a great idea, Jim. And I think we definitely need to pursue that. The Centennial Celebration Committee for. Mm-hmm. He has a film series planned.
Cool.
Starting in January and taking us all the way to our 100th anniversary in November, at which time we'll air Now We're in the Air, which happens to be the very first film that was ever shown in the Panada Theater. So we are really excited about that. Mm-hmm. And we are going to be getting sponsorships and underwriting for each film, and we're going backwards through the decades.
Oh, cool.
The decades of theater.
Oh, what fun. Mm-hmm.
So
what fun.
Watch for that. We are very soon going to be seeking sponsorships.
Okay.
And several times during that 11-month period, there'll be special events associated with the film. So that'll probably be a seasonal kind mm-hmm. of a. This is something more special than just the film. So.
Amy, you have to leave in a few minutes. You have a commitment, and anything you'd like to say in closing, and Steve will stay on.
Well, my sense is that one of the issues that the Panada and I am personally attempting to deal with right now is there seems to have developed a disconnect between staff and the board, and we would not be able to open our doors without staff. They are so, so critical to our success. And so I'm working really hard to create a board and staff team where we're all on the same page, we're all working together, and we all have the same goal, success of the Panada, and bringing it back to the full glory that it truly deserves.
Thank you, and we'll take a music break so that Amy can slide out of here, and Steve will stay with us. On this date, July 9, 1995, the last performance of the Grateful Dead in Chicago with Jerry Garcia, and they were called out for an encore, and they played two songs, and the true Deadheads know exactly what the song is. On this date, July 9th, 1995, it was the last performance of the Grateful Dead with Jerry Garcia, and they were called out for an encore. They did two songs, and Box of Rain was the last one. And curiously, that was one of the few songs that Phil Lesh co-wrote with Robert Hunter, and mainly It was Bob Weir and Jerry Garcia being most of the songwriters when they weren't doing covers. But Box of Rain from the Grateful Dead's American Beauty album.
Okay.
One of their best.
Yeah. Jerry Garcia died unexpectedly, right? It was not like any kind of farewell concert.
He was in rehab at the time, and things went awry.
Yeah. Well, how about that? The true deadheads were probably singing along as you were here in the studio. I almost turned on the microphone.
No. Do not. Ever. And that is capitalized, Jack, with little periods after the E and the V and the E and the R.
Okay.
Do that.
Little. Okay.
You have been warned.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Steve is with us, and we're going to do events in town, and we can start off with tonight at the Panada Theater. It's your turn, Steve.
Tonight is the International Fly Fishing Film Festival with bucket raffles and door prizes. Doors open at 7 p.m., 1 hour before show, and that's tonight. That should be a great event for general admission. And then on July 22nd in particular, Shiny Ribs is playing at the Panada. Shiny Ribs is a great artist, I believe, from Austin, Texas, that I've heard play live down there. And that should be a great, fun concert for everybody.
Mm-hmm. If I can say a thing about the fly fishing,
yes.
Even if you're not interested, you know, when you think of fly fishing, at least when I think of fly fishing, I think of a mountain stream and, you know, a babbling sort of thing and greenery around. You know, people fly fish in the ocean. And to see them fly fishing out in the ocean and how they do it and what they're going after is incredible. So it's also just an informative. Doors open at 6 tonight.
Excuse me. Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doors open at 6. The event is at 7, and you can get tickets at panada.org.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim.
Let's see. What else is coming up in town here? Well, for one thing, you can go and see Camden Morris, who's playing at Matchwood Brewing on July 10th. That is
Friday.
If you like Camden Morris and you can't catch him there, well, you can pay to see him at the festival at Sandpoint. You can also come and see Camden Morris at The Hive on July 21st when he's going to be our guest for the Little Live Radio Hour. That's also a free show. So come and see Camden Morris play as the musical act on July the 21st at The Hive, and you can also listen to that as we broadcast it live at 7 o'clock p.m. on KRFY. Yeah.
KRFY.
Yeah, however you're listening to us right now, that you can listen then.
And Jack, I interject a great event coming up this weekend that's not the Panada, but a classic Sandpoint event. The Sandpoint Annual Antique and Classic Wooden Boat Show, as I call it. Mm-hmm. It's July 10th and 11th, and it has the parade along the pier near the powerhouse there, and then later on the boats all go out into the lake, and this is just a wonderful Sandpoint event. I've been to it out of my 20 years here probably at least 15 times, and it's an incredible collection of antique wooden boats from, I believe, the 20s to now.
They're beautiful. Yeah,
absolutely.
I always love to walk along and see
those boats. It's sort of like when you look at the car.
Uh-huh.
You know, yes. I mean, wooden boats, you know, it's just like a warm feeling.
Yes. Sometimes usually the people are out there. The boat owners are out there standing on or next to their boats.
And they take great pride.
Yes. You can ask them little questions about, the origin and things like that. Yep. That's a fun one for all ages, if I may say so.
Absolutely. I'd like to mention that this weekend is the 6th annual Pride Festival, running from today, the 9th, through Sunday the 12th at locations throughout Sandpoint. But main celebration is Saturday at the Greenery Arts District. And when I say greenery,
yeah,
I want to spell it G-R-A-I-N-A-R-Y. And I'm sure there's a story behind why it's just GR. And I'm sure the phone will be buzzing off, you know, off the hook, you know, why it's GRAN.
My guess might be that it's from Britain originally, but that's a guess.
Oh, okay.
Them again. I was thinking along those same lines.
Them again.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's at 513 Oak Street, hosted by PFLAG Sandpoint and SAFE. The four-day festival celebrates LGBTQS community with a variety of events. And I would say you can tune in. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to be there, are we not? Are you going to be there?
On Saturday?
On Saturday.
Absolutely. And one of the things I want to say.
Come say hi to KRFY.
Usually June is the LGBTQ month. And what I like about the July here is a celebration just of whoever you are. And not necessarily LGBTQ. Definitely that's a part of it. But, you know, the celebration of all of the beauty of being different and unique and one in this community. And so I think that's a great time. And it closes out on Saturday night outside Matchwood with a performance until 10 o'clock, and my understanding is the Shook Twins group with Side Boob, and if you've never caught them, you need to do
it's
that.
It's quite a show.
It is quite a show, and you can bounce all over the place, and the music is top-notch.
Yep. No, we'll show up. KRFY will be there. We won't broadcast live, but we'll do our
thing.
We'll
do a lot of
it. We'll do interviews. Great.
We've
we'll
done
record
that in
it.
The past.
And then at some point we will have an opening in our morning show schedule
and
that we can air it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Edit it down and air it.
Do you think we ever will have an opening in our morning show schedule again, Jim? It seems like we get booked up awfully far in advance.
People like us. Oh, yeah. You know, to quote Sally Field, you really like us.
Anyway, let's see. We had a complaint that there's not enough Chet Atkins on these airwaves. I'd like
from George Eskridge.
I'm gonna play a little Chet just in the background because that's nice. That's nice background event type music, and we can continue talking about what else is coming up here in town.
There's something coming up with, I think Steve can mention, the Friends of the Panada.
Ah,
yes.
Tell
us. Saturday, July 18th, from 8 to 1. At Nancy Rank's house on Cedar Street, the Friends of the Panada is holding its annual yard sale. So that week, next week, we're also looking for donations. You could contact Nancy, and you know, it'll be Saturday from 8 to 1. But again, all week, you know, contact her, contact me as well if you want about donations so that we can have a robust yard sale and raise some more money for the Panada. And I think maybe the best thing, unless you have more to ask me, is just to say, please, everyone, the Panada belongs to the community, each and every one of you, whether you come for music, a family dance event, a movie, drama, local presentation. Also, remember that the Little Theater and the Panada Theater are both available for rent year-round, you know, depending on what your needs for an event are. So please support the Panada in whatever ways you can, and remember that it's our community treasure.
And the yard sale is at 814 Cedar Street.
Thank you, Jim.
And the day, once again, is
Saturday, July 18th.
July 18th. And can you just briefly tell our listeners what the Friends of the Panada, what that organization is?
Yes, the Friends of the Panada was formed about 5 years ago by three former Panada board chairs, Nancy Rank, Susan Bates Harbuck, the original Panada mom, one of them, and myself. And we formed it along the lines of the very successful Friends of the Library organization, because they raised monies. And then the library, my understanding, requests money for certain projects. And the Friends decides yes for this one, maybe for that one, or maybe part for that one, as opposed to just giving the money directly to them. So that's why we founded the Friends of the Panada. Also, we can take regular donations. We can take timed donations at the end of the year. We have a couple of people who do that. We can also take planned giving if that's something that has appeal. So the Panada will come and ask us for certain projects, not the largest ones generally. We funded the putting up of the stairs out of the back of the Panada. We funded the part of the redo of the green room there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of things that the Friends of the Panada does. And thank you, Jim, for asking.
Mm-hmm.
We're very supportive of the Panada, but this is separate from the Panada itself. It's a separately chartered 501c3.
Hmm. Yeah, those stairs were a nightmare before they were repaired. Now it's wonderful. It's the best staircase along the
creek.
In the city.
Uh-huh. If not North Idaho.
Yeah. Let's see. What else is coming up? Hey, you got another big name coming to the Panada Theater. John Craigie is coming.
Yes, next, majorly.
Next week. He will be Friday, July 17th at the Panada Theater at 8 p.m. Yeah, Craigie is very popular here in Sandpoint, and he's playing with another local favorite, Bart Budwig. Neither of them are truly local. I mean, they didn't grow up here, but they've been coming to town for years and always well-received.
And we're always very excited about him coming back to play at the Panada, kind of like the Shook Twins at Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
So that'll be a great concert.
I would like to throw out on Saturday, July 25th, is the Sidewalk Day sales, and KRFY will be selling CDs and DVDs, and we are still accepting donations Crazy Days, Sidewalk Days, and it's a nice way to give to the community, and we can add possibly if we don't have them in our iTunes library, and then whatever ones we don't sell, we pass on to a 501c3 organization, and then they can do with them whatever they want. So that's one way to weed through. You know, I've oftentimes said, Jack, one of the tragedies of life, when you collect CDs, you can only listen to one at a time because you only have one set of ears. So that when one is playing, there's a lot of them just sitting collecting dust. So go through, and when was the last time that you listened to, like, the Carpenters' Greatest Hits? No, I don't want to go there. There's probably there was a person who was a relative of the Carpenters was going to donate like $4 million to the Panada, and I just blew it. I apologize.
Well, she did have a wonderful voice.
No doubt.
And quite a drummer.
Yes, she was a drummer.
Yes. That's right. She was the drummer.
She was multi-talented.
Karen. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take what I said back.
Okay.
Okay, donate. Bring it down toward the radio station. Leave it outside our door, 323 North 1st Avenue, above the Cakery.
Mm-hmm.
And please do support that great sale. Unfortunately, the Panada no longer does a Crazy Days sale. However, the scholarship fund that is long established that money went to is still very much alive. And we give
that's
out
the Laurel Wagers.
Laurel Wagers.
One
Panada
of the mothers.
Memorial,
one of the mothers.
Yes, one of the founding moms. Laurel Wagers Scholarship. We give out a scholarship to one or several kids in this area every year that are going on in some form of the performing arts, film, music, theater, tech, sound. And that process is still very much there. It's funded for a couple of years in advance from when we stopped having the sale, but come support the KRFY one, but also you can give donations to the Panada for the Laurel Wager Scholarship if you want to support that year round.
Okay.
One of the things I want to say that at the Crazy Day Sidewalk Sales is that I have a bunch of Bird Note, since Bird Note is coming up, back in the day when Bird Note would send us CDs for the month. And I've got a whole collection if you're a teacher or if you just like listening to, you know, the information is not outdated. So those will be up for sale.
Okay.
For Bird Note lovers.
For Bird Note lovers. Hey, that's right. Should we listen to a little,
let's listen to Chet.
Okay, Chet Atkins. It's coming up right after Bird Note, which is coming up right now. Okay. Thanks for listening to The Morning Show. Steve, thank you very much. Amy, if you're out there, thank you for dropping in. This was a very enlightening conversation.
Thank you very much for having us, and may the Panada go on for another 100 years.
Indeed.
And we'll be all here for it.